Afternoon. Appreciate y'all giving me a chance to speak again. Gets a little easier each time, at least I like to think it does. We're going to be mainly in 1 Peter chapter 3 this afternoon. It'll be page number 204. We're going to start out in 1 Peter 3:15. As many of y'all know, on Sunday mornings I've started teaching a Bible class for the teens. Very first memory verse we had in that class was this verse I have written on the board. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." I think everyone should learn this memory verse. The kids have said it just a few times by now, right? You should be able to work towards being able to answer anyone who asks you how you became a Christian and why you chose to become a Christian. The context of this verse is important as always. I would encourage you that anytime you're being taught by others, or just doing a Bible study on your own, look at the rest of the scripture surrounding it, and just to get a better understanding of what you're hearing or reading. Let's go back and read a little bit more from 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 8 and reading through verse 17. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away evil from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Let's stop right there for 1 second. Just something kind of an aside about reading in context. If you read that verse by itself, I'd say you could wrongly interpret this to mean that if you're a Christian, nothing bad will happen to you. But if you keep reading the context, the surrounding verses around it, you'd understand that you will possibly suffer as a Christian. It doesn't promise that. Let's start back in verse 13 again. "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Thank you. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it's better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." So, do good and do not do evil as a Christian. When you do good, it's possible that less bad things will happen to you. That's just following logic. Makes a lot of sense, really. If you're hanging out with the wrong crowds, doing the wrong things, you're also going to be living through the unfortunate consequences of these actions. When you do good as a Christian person, people will notice. They'll notice the difference in you from other people who are not doing good. it is better if you do suffer in life for doing good than for doing evil. When you leave this building here and go out into the world to where you work or go to school, you need to study the Bible so that you know enough to defend your faith to yourself, because you need to know what you believe, not just because your parents have told you to believe it or it's what your family for generations has believed. You need to know why you believe it so that you can defend it to others. You want to be a good example to others that if and when you suffer as a Christian, you have a good attitude. And you still do good to others and treat others as you should, even when you're going through bad things. When you do, you know what will happen? People will notice. When you want to tell others about Christ, you will want to be grounded in the truth. You'll want them to see you as a good person. And you'll want to know what is in and not in the Bible. Because there's a lot of false teaching out there. There's a lot of things that have been, like I referenced earlier, where you take one little sentence out of the scripture and make it mean one thing, and it doesn't really mean. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. That's page number 172 in your pew Bible. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. This is talking about Jesus Christ here in these verses. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see there, a couple of things in that verse. There's a lot of things in those verses right there. But you need to be firmly grounded in your beliefs. I read that once. You need to know why. You need to read it for yourself and understand it for yourself. So when people see you and see the difference in you as a Christian, you can defend that. And you can teach them. And teach them how to study for themselves. Let's turn back to 1 Peter 3. One more time. With everything we have read this afternoon, I wouldn't feel right not finishing that chapter out. There's some important things there at the end of it. This time starting in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive by the Spirit, by whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through the water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Every one of you here, he died for you. Didn't know, matter what you've done, didn't matter what you're going to do, he died for you. He died for me and what I've done. You have a chance, a rare chance. You have a chance to be saved today. There's no reason to put it off, really. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring and what's going to happen. If you haven't put on Christ in baptism, or if you're struggling in either prayers of the church, you can come forward now as we sing the song of invitation.